Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. If you have a subject of interest, we want to discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, if you have just a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Day 16 of our study on Revelation, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The basic gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. And that day of resurrection was the most victorious day this world has ever seen and ever experienced. To overcome death, to conquer death by coming back to life, that was incredible. And all that we believe hinges on that event, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And the fact that we can be victorious in life hinges on that as well. And here in Revelation 15, we see the impact of that resurrected life for us and in us. It's a victorious scene indeed. It starts with a look at seven angels holding the seven last plagues, and John gets word that God's wrath is finally going to be completed. But before he jumps into that, he shows us this victorious scene of those standing on a sea of glass that was mixed with fire. What does that symbolize? Who are those people? Those people are those who have overcome evil through faith in Jesus Christ. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're standing on that sea. If you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior and have been born again, you are standing on that sea, and you're going to join the great heavenly chorus in singing the song of Moses and singing the song of the Lamb, that God is worthy and marvelous are all his deeds, that he is just and true, the King of the ages, and all of those wonderful things that we will sing to God the Father because of his work in Jesus Christ. So have you believed the Lamb? Have you trusted? If so, you are a victorious saint. John talks about this in his first letter, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." And he tells us how that happens. He says, "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And I love the rhythm of this letter. It's all about coming judgment, but throughout he's making sure that we know we're okay, that we have assurance, that we know that this wrath that is coming is not directed at us, that we are safe and secure in the arms of our Lord and Savior. That's what gives us victory, and that's what this chapter is all about. And it is really, I think, a powerful chapter as far as the gospel message is concerned. It shows where this gospel message ultimately takes us, and that's the place of victory with Jesus Christ.
And that's Basic Gospel. And you're listening to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We want you to enter the discussion with us. 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the country and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Townsend, Mass, and talk with Joe, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
That's good. The good Lord, he likes to bless you, I know. Hardness of heart. I talked to you the other day, and maybe I shouldn't be calling you a couple of times because you had the people watch. But just quickly, like with me, for instance, I met the Lord in 1956. I had heard the gospel several times before, you know, through different preachers on the street corners and in some churches sometimes. And no, I it was, you know, foolish just to to me and so forth. But, you know, one day my wife wanted to go to church on a Sunday night at this Pentecostal church. And I only went because, you know, she wanted me to go and I loved her and she was crying a little bit. So I went with her. No intention of asking the Lord to come in. But, you know, and I sat way in the back a row, and, you know, so that I would keep out of sight there and so forth. But they had this kind of a cowboy guy with big boots on up there preaching, and he started preaching about Jesus and how he died on the cross, and they tore up his back, and they pulled out his beard, and then he looked down, and I just started listening a little bit. No intention of getting saved, you know. Then he looked right down. I swear he looked straight at me down at the end of the hall there, and he said, you know, if you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have came for you and died for you. And it just melted my heart, and I ran down the altar, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I've never been the same since. But you see, that's what when I called you the very last time, this is what I heard from the preacher, and I opened my eyes. He said, we as people are, and only God knows, but we have the capability of when the heat, the Holy Spirit is applied, we can harden like clay from that heat, or like when heat is also applied, we can melt like a wax candle. We can melt. And this is what we have the capability of doing. And only God knows, when we hear the message this time, are we going to melt like wax, or are we going to harden like clay again? And that's why people keep asking, well, why did God pick this person? And he didn't pick this person. No. Everybody has an opportunity. He either hears it on the radio or from some preacher calling. I did when I was a kid many times and so forth, but it's only God knows if we're going to harden our heart or we're going to melt like wax. And I just wanted to throw that in, Bob. And
well,
I thank you very
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Joe. I sure appreciate that. And just make one little point in addition to that. You know, James talks about this, that God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. That really ties into the hardness of heart. You know, the pride in sinful man is what hardens the heart. When that message filters through pride, we reject. The heart hardens, and it's harder to hear it when it comes back to us again. But it seems that life has a way of humbling us, just knocking us right on our butts, and eventually we get humbled to the point where this message is no longer filtered through pride, but it's filtered through a humble heart saying, hey, I need help. Something is drastically wrong with me. And it's then that the message seems to take root. It's then when we are receptive to Jesus. So it gets back down to pride or humility. The world operates on pride and fear, but in time we recognize that that's just an empty way of life. It offers nothing. We get humbled. It's then that we can receive that grace of God. Well, Joe, great comment today. Sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk to William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Hoping you can help me reconcile a couple of passages in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus says that there'll be those who call Lord, Lord, and point out that they drove out demons in his name, but he told them he never knew them and said, away from me, evildoers. He was calling them evildoers for driving out demons in his name, even though he didn't know them. But in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 and 39, John reports to Jesus they found a man driving out demons in the name of Jesus, and Jesus told them, don't stop him. And I was wondering, what was the difference between the two?
Well, I think the difference is this. You know, in Matthew, Jesus is speaking about false prophets. So watch out for false prophets, he said in verse 15 of that verse. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And they're going to have on the surface sheep-like stuff on their resume. Why? Because they need that type of stuff to draw you in and to make you think that they're okay, that they're doing the right stuff, the good stuff, the godly stuff. So on their resume are going to be things about prophesying and driving out demons and performing miracles. But Jesus knows something about those folks. They're false prophets. They aren't doing it for the good of others. They aren't doing it for the good of people. They're not operating out of love. They're operating out of false motives. These are deceptive practices. So to those who are false prophets, who bear bad fruit and not good fruit, Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. And the whole issue in Matthew 7 is this: when they're standing before the Lord, the case they are arguing hinges upon their works. So they're basically answering the question, how do I get into heaven? Well, let me present my case. I've done this. I've done that. I've done, you know, all these wonderful, wonderful things. I. You can't get to heaven based on I. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. So they're arguing the wrong case. They are arguing out of pride. Look at me. Look at all the wonderful things that I've done. When in essence, the only way to enter is through Jesus Christ. Now, this other passage, you said that was in Mark chapter 9. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah, he's talking. The disciples are complaining because somebody who is not part of their inner circle is out casting out demons in Jesus' name, and they wanted to stop them. And Jesus says, let them alone. You know, it's you cannot do this in my name, and you can't speak well of Jesus Christ, of the Messiah, if you're truly not a believer. And so what he's saying to them is, you know, ignore that outer stuff. If they're truly doing it in my name, then blessings will accrue. If they're not doing it in my name, then that's my business to deal with, not yours. Paul also talks about this kind of thing related in Philippians 1, where he talks about the, you know, people who are preaching the gospel, some of them out of selfish ambition and some not. And he comes to the conclusion, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. So there are people who can hear these words from even false prophets and meet Jesus. It's the false prophet who has to deal with Jesus in the judgment, not the people who heard the word and responded to Jesus and perhaps were saved.
And all that's going to take place kind of at that final judgment.
Yes.
I think that's
and that's God's business, not mine.
Yes. Does that make sense, William?
Yeah, I guess the lesson to be taken from here is look at the context that precedes and follows the verses. That'll help you discern what's really being said there.
Yes, indeed. Good point, William. Good question today. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks.
1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Before we go to our next phone call, I want to ask our listeners today to do something for me and for us. We need your financial help. This is listener-supported radio. And if it has been of value to you, if it's helped you get connected to the love of Christ in such a way that it's made a difference, would you give back in support of this? We certainly need your support at this time. A gift of $10, a gift of $50, a gift of $1,000, whatever you have to give and can give joyfully, I'm asking you to do so today. And to say thanks, we want to put Richard's booklet our guaranteed future into your hands. And for a gift of $50 or more, we want to put his CD series on Revelation, It's No Mystery, into your hands as well. Valuable resources that can give you full confidence that you are saved. And we definitely want you to have it, but we need your help. Will you stand with us today? Pick up that phone, call, go to our website, click the support link, make a donation today. We need to hear from you.
BasicGospel.net, prominent link right on the homepage at BasicGospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Matt, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Matt.
Hi, I hope you guys are doing well today.
Indeed.
I just had a couple of questions here. We just wanted to make a comment about the gentleman that just called. It kind of goes with the whole saying that, you know, don't be just hearers of the word, also be doers of the word. You know, those who love me will follow my commandments. But I just had a question about, I've recently switched a church, and I'm not going to name the church, but it's a kind of a new church for me. And I have two questions. I was wondering your opinion on a Reformed church, and also was wondering if you would recommend the book, The Westminster Confession of Faith, to anyone, to a believer.
Well, good questions, Matt. The Reformed church basically came out of the Reformation, you know, when Martin Luther hung the 95 theses on the door and made a declaration about faith in Jesus Christ alone is sufficient for salvation. That brought about the Reformation. And then from that, there were different strands of that came about. John Calvin was one that, kind of rose and took leadership. And the Reformed Church in America today basically would follow Calvin's teaching. There's the 5 points of Calvinism. It's grace-centered. They speak about the gifts of grace. We're saved by grace in Christ alone, through faith alone. So they're very strong on those sort of things. They talk about predestination. That's probably their distinguishing mark, that God chooses some for salvation and he chooses others for damnation. That has been a very divisive theology, but that's basically what the Reformed church would be. Does that help answer your question there?
Much
of the Reformed church is based on that Westminster Catechism. And I think the Westminster Catechism is like any of the creeds. They're very valuable in stating the belief system, the doctrines of the church. And I haven't read all of the Westminster Catechism, so I can't speak as an authority on that. But the few things that I've read, it seems to be very spot on as far as the doctrines are concerned. But the real issue that they seem to bring to the table and continually bring to the table and then bring to the table again is this idea of election, that God chose some for salvation and he intentionally chose others for damnation. That's what distinguishes them.
Would you throw caution to a church like that? I mean, I don't know, and that's the reason that I called and asked. I've been listening to you guys
while. Matt, I have great friends. One of my best friends is a pastor of a Reformed church up in the New England area. I respect him almost as much as I respect anyone on this planet. I've never seen a person as passionate about Jesus Christ, of presenting the message concerning Christ to people in my life. Would I go to his church? You better believe I would. Just for that. Would I disagree with some of the doctrines he presents? Yes, I would. We've had some great disagreeing conversations But all of them ended with, you know, a big hug and a great respect one for another. Are there some churches out there under the Reformed label that I would not go to? You bet. A lot of it has to do with the leadership. Who's in charge? I grew up in a Methodist church. Do I believe everything the Methodists believe? No. Do I believe I can lose my salvation? No, but when I grew up, that's what I was taught in that particular church. I know pastors in that church. I have another good friend I've known since the crib, just about. We went to kindergarten together, sang in the choir together. He pastors a Methodist church, and boy, he is just so spot on with what Christ has done and this reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as far as finding a church, you know, you kind of use the denominational label as the first filter. And then beyond that, you really want to get to know the pastor. You really want to get to know what he believes, what he teaches, what the message is that's being shared each and every day, and what the community of believers is all about. And I think with that, you may find some churches that you wouldn't normally go to that you find just outstanding for your purposes and your particular needs.
I understand. Well, thank you very much. That definitely helps. And God bless y'all, and thanks again.
You are welcome, Matt. Great call today.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, let's go back to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Dana listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Dana.
Hey, my brothers in Christ, last time I talked to you, I was just a little overwhelmed because, wow, Jesus really overwhelms me. I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate and love you guys because you're so sobering and mature in the way you explain it, and I love to hear it because in my old life, I failed first grade and quit in eighth grade, never read a book in my life. And then was ministered by Charles Stanley on the radio 9 o'clock in the morning. And then somebody said, you know, find a church. Well, I went to the wrong one, but God sent me there so that I could distinguish the spirits. But the question is, guys, with John looking up with the 24 elders, do you think or believe that it could be the 12 prophets and the 12 disciples that are standing up there under him?
Well, that's what many people would think, that it's, you know, the 12 children of Jacob and then the 12 apostles. I think they're left unidentified for a purpose. I think they just represent the total people of God. So I think that's what that is. Richard, you've had some thoughts on that.
Well, they aren't identified. What we're told about them is that whenever Jesus shows up, they fall on their faces in worship. I think we should follow suit.
Absolutely. So does that help, Dana?
Yeah, Hosanna, 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 and thank you for keeping Jesus Christ's name alive down here and where it all happened. And you guys are just amazing, man.
Well,
and you're so
Dana.
Beautiful. And 5 years later, I'm finally getting the truth, but I had to go through all the trials and tribulations. Jesus is my rabbi
Well, Dana, I need to jump in. We're out of time on today's broadcast.
Okay, partner,
thanks,
I understand.
Thanks for the great encouragement, my friend. We sure appreciate it.
And Bob and Richard, for all of our listeners who give to support the Basic Gospel Message, thank you for doing so. We have a special gift for you for a gift of any amount, our Guaranteed Future, the booklet. And if you have an opportunity to make a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you both the booklet and the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. It's your gifts, of course, that keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time can bring you new understanding of this book of the Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. That booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. So, until tomorrow, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry staff, Bob Davis, God bless you and have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.